Okay. So, Rabbosai, we have for today two topics that I wanted to study with you. And as I go through them myself, I realize that we might not have time for both topics. So it was a kind of a triage situation. Have to choose which one. The first one has the advantage of being a hemshech to sort of continue and complete what we started 2 days ago on Monday. The second one is a brand new topic and stands on its own 2 feet. So each one has an advantage. So I think we'll start with the second topic, and in Yirtzeh Hashem, if we have time, we'll go back to the first topic, if that's okay with everyone. Just a couple of advertisements. Tomorrow I'm giving a shiur on Daf Vav. If anybody's interested, that'll take place at 11:15. We spoke about God wearing tefillin and what that means. And then at 12:15 we have a Parsha shiur. Tonight we have a Masechta Makos shiur. I know there are other things going on in the community, but if anyone's available, we have a brilliant sugya tonight of Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, Bitlo. It's a separate independent sugya, and that's at 8:20 tonight. Okay then, without any further ado, let's begin with what seems to be a very strange Rambam, and the Kesef Mishnah quotes the Ramach, Rav Moshe Cohen, to point out how strange this Rambam really is. The Rambam is very early in Hilchas Kriyat Shema, in Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin, and the Rambam says the following. It's a Rambam that should catch our eye. It's a very long Rambam. We don't need actually all the details in this Rambam, but we'll focus on the following part of the Rambam. He says the following. He speaks about the Bracha Rishona Lefaneha, and he speaks about the Brachos in general of Kriyat Shema. And he writes, Brachos elu im shar kol habrachos haruchos befi kol Yisrael Ezra ubeis dino tiknum. So these brachos were established, were formulated by Ezra and his bezdin. V'ein adam rashai lifchos mehen v'lo lahosif aleihen. Makom shiskinu lachsom bebarach ein rashai shelo lachsom. Makom shiskinu shelo lachsom ein rashai lachsom. Makom shiskinu shelo liftoach bebarach ein rashai liftoach. Makom shiskinu liftoach ein rashai shelo liftoach. We have to follow by the rules, and these rules were established by whom? By which bezdin?
Ezra.
Says the Rambam, klolo shel davar. Kol hamishana mimatbea shetovu chachomim bibrachos. If he alters, if he deviates from the presentation, the formulation, as established by the chachomim in brachos, hareze toeh. Now, hareze toeh is sort of low profile. You know, that's not saying more than the fact that you made a mistake. You know, you didn't do it the right way. But then the Rambam adds 3 words, and that's what incurs the wrath of Rav Moshe Cohen, one of the great Bali Bikoris on the Rambam. V'chozer u'mevorech kematbeah. The Rambam establishes chozer u'mevorech means that you weren't yotze your mitzvah of birchas kriyat shema, and you have to repeat the brachos. Says the Ramach, quoted here by the Kesef Mishnah, Lo nehira. It doesn't seem to be correct. Me'ahu uvda. The Gemara tells us a story about a person who said, Baruch Rachmana Marid Haipita. Blessed be the compassionate one who is the master of this piece of bread. V'gam me'ahu diomar diyavich lan v'lo yavich liafra upachro so Milahodos Afalpi Sheshina Mimatbea Bibirchas Hagomel. And the Gemara establishes that even though he was Mishana Mimatbea Habrochos, despite that fact, B'di'eved, afal pichein yotza, he was yotza yidei chovosa. So the problem that we raise here in the Ramach is a stir between the Rambam and the Gemara. But truth be told, there's an even, in a certain sense, a more fundamental problem that we have to raise, and that is a stir between the Rambam and the Rambam. In other words, the Rambam himself contradicts himself, because in Hilchas Brachos, the Rambam establishes in Perek Aleph Halacha Hey, the exact opposite, says the Rambam. We'll read it inside. V'nusach kol ha-brachos Ezra beis dino tiknum v'eino roi l'shanos. It's not a good idea to deviate from the text. V'lo l'hosif, or to add. Al achas mihen v'lo legro mimenu, and then the Rambam says v'chol amishana mimadbeah shetovu chachomim bebrachos eino ela toa. Period. End of sentence. I mean, I was waiting with bated breath for the next three words. V'imshina chozer mevarech, and I'm not the only one who was waiting. The Vilna Gaon was waiting. Does anybody have a gra? I think the Or Chaim went AWOL on us. I don't know. In any event, if you'll see the Vilna Gaon in Shulchan Aruch Or Chaim at the very beginning of Siman Samach Hei, he points out that the Rambam contradicts himself, because the Rambam in Hilchas Brachos omits those extra words of Im Shina Choser Umevarech. The implication, says the Gaon, is that the Rambam holds that although it's not a good idea to be Mishanami Matbea Brachos, Shetovu Chachamim, the din is that you have to recite the Brachos as they were formulated by the Anshe Knesset HaGedola. Nevertheless, you made a toes with the Eved Yoyotze. Otherwise, the Rambam should have been Mechadish to us, as he did in Hilchas Kriyat Shema, that Choser Umevarech, Imshina Choser Umevarech. So again, I don't have the Gaon in front of me, but the Gaon postulates that there's a stira between the Rambam, and he goes as far as to say that the Rambam changed his mind. Why the Rambam couldn't cross it out in Hilchas Kriyat Shema, I don't know, but the Rambam in Hilchas Brachos decided that what he wrote in Hilchas Kriyat Shema is incorrect, and he had a change of heart. All right, obviously I don't have to tell you that doesn't make me a happy camper. To say that the Rambam changed his mind without removing what he wrote in Hilchas Kriyat Shema is very difficult. But leaving that question on the side for a moment, I don't understand something else. The Rambam, assuming there is no stira, so the Gaon wants to take out in Hilchas Kriyat Shema, he wants to omit those last three words of Choser Umevarech, correct? That's what the Gaon wants to accomplish. But even if let's say I grant you that the Gaon is correct, although I'm very skeptical, the Rambam still formulates this halacha of kol ha-mishane mimadbeya shetovu chachom areize toeh twice. He has it here in Perek Aleph Halacha Zayin of Hilchas Kriyat Shema with this long arichus about Bezdin shel Ezra tiknum veinon the brashoi lifchos mehem, etc., etc. So even if I were to say that Choser Mevarech Kimadbea, if I take out those three words, I don't think the Gaon is saying, if I read the Gaon correctly, that we should take out the entire Rama. So my question is the following. Why would the Rambam codify the same halacha twice? You know, the Rambam is famous for his he's very terse, his brevity, he's very abridged. And he's not interested in being marich. So why, above and beyond the question of the stira between the Rambam, and whether you take these words v'chozer mevarech in Hilchos Kriyat Shema as it says it, but despite that fact, why did the Rambam bother b'chlal, since he has it in Hilchos Brachos, why would he repeat himself in Hilchos Kriyat Shema? And tell us that Bezdin of Ezra, Mesakin, we can't be Mosif, we can't be Mishana. And furthermore, and this is just an extension of that same question, where would you say the Rambam should codify this halacha of Kol Mishana in Hilchos Brachos? It doesn't belong in Hilchos Kriyat Shema. Of course there are brachas on Kriyat Shema. There are brachas all over the place. But that doesn't mean that every time the Rambam mentions a bracha, in Hilchos Lulav, he's going to talk about the bracha on the Lulav. Therefore, he's going to repeat the whole spiel about Bezdin Shel Ezra, Tiknum, Ve'ena Rishai L'shanos. Why did the Rambam feel compelled to codify the halacha of the Nusach HaBrachos and how strict and how dedicated we have to be to the recitation of the brachos as they were formulated by Bezdin Shel Ezra in Hilchos Kriyat Shema? Why did he feel that was important? It would seem, therefore, logical to answer all these questions by taking an approach that's different than that of the Gaon. The Rambam was bedafka, he was very deliberate, and he wasn't chozer bo, he didn't cross out anything here. By the way, I just want to tell you, the Pirush HaMishnayos of the Rambam, we have. It's in the possession of the family of the Rambam to this day. And many years ago, they had it on exhibit in the Hebrew University Library, in the National Library, in the Judaica section. It was really, for me, a very emotional experience to actually get so close to the Rambam. I'm a big Rambam fan. And to see the Rambam's own handwriting. It's unbelievable how meticulous he was. Now, the Pirush HaMishnayos is written in Arabic, what's called Hebrew Judeo-Arabic. So it's written with Hebrew letters in Arabic. But you watch the way the Rambam crosses lines out with a perfect line right in the middle of the Ksav. And the comments of his son, Rabbeinu Avram ben Arambam, are added onto the manuscript all around the sides. They circle the Rambam. It's beautiful. So I'm just saying that, after having seen that, to say that the Rambam, many years later, because he wrote the Pirush HaMishnayos when he was a young man, that he would have been chozer bo, he changed his mind, and he didn't cross it out. So I'm going to assume that the Rambam is establishing two halachas. There's one halacha which governs all brachos in general, and that the Rambam formulates in Hilchos Brachos. And the Rambam says that Kol Mishana Bimat Beish Tovu Chachom Arizei Toeh, but the Rambam doesn't add Chozer Mevarech. And there's another halacha with regard to Birchas Kriyat Shema. And in Birchas Kriyat Shema, we have a separate halacha that if you're Mishana Bimat Beish Tovu Chachom, then Chozer Mevarech. And therefore, the Gemara which the Ramach quotes is not a stira to the Rambam. The Rambam is very much aware of that Gemara. And if a person was Toeh, and he was Mishanim Yabesh, Tovu Chachom B'Brochos, is Eino Chozer, is Yotzei B'Di'evin. And that's what the Rambam implies in Hilchos Brachos. Perek Afalach Hei, when he omits Chozer Mavarech. You're innocent until proven guilty. That's not a stira to the Rambam in Hilchos Kriyat Shema. The Rambam holds that in Hilchos Kriyat Shema, there's a separate halacha that Birchas Kriyat Shema has to be recited. The brachas have to be recited in exactly the same formula as it was established by the Chacham. And that's a din mesuyam in Birchas Kriyat Shema that doesn't apply to Shar brachas. And therefore, we can answer all our questions. The stira of the Ramach is no kasha. The steer in the Rambam is no kasha. Why did the Rambam feel compelled to codify these halachas, not only in Hilchos Brachos, but also in Hilchos Kriyat Shema? Adarabah, because here in Hilchos Kriyat Shema is a separate halacha that deviates from the halacha in general in Brachos, and that's a unique halacha in Hilchos Birchas Kriyat Shema. The Birchas Kriyat Shema is in Tav, in Brachos, if he's Mishane, is Hareza Choser Mubarach. So what I want to do now is dedicate the rest of the shiur to try to understand where the Rambam, from whence did the Rambam derive this conclusion? What's the logic behind the Rambam that in Birchas Kriyat Shema there's a separate halacha that Hamashanim Madbeah Shetovu Chacham Bibrachos, the din is Chozer Umevarech. So in order to analyze this, I'd like to begin by saying the following. That although the Rabbanon are responsible for establishing Birchas Kriyat Shema, I mean, Birchas Kriyat Shema is not a Doraisa. We do have Brachas that are Doraisa in Talmud Torah, Birchas HaMazon, maybe one or two others, but certainly not Birchas Kriyat Shema. Birchas Kriyat Shema is the Rabbanon. But what the Rabbanon did was, they established Birchas Kriyat Shema as part and parcel of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema itself. Whereas in general, we could say that there's a chiyuv brachos. Let's say, for example, I'm about to take a lulav and be mekayim the mitzvah of ulakachtem lachem. So that engenders a chiyuv bracha. But that chiyuv bracha remains independent of the mitzvah itself, the guf ha-mitzvah, the essence of the mitzvah is netilas lulav. There's another independent chiyuv to be mevarech. Masha Einken, when the Rabbanon established Birchas Kriyat Shema, they did it in a very unique way. And that is that they established that these brachas are part and parcel of the Kiyum Kriyat Shema. Again, on a Doraisa level, for sure, I was Yotze Machi of Kriyat Shema without the brachas, that's for sure. But on a Drabbanan level, in order to achieve the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema Bishlemuta in its perfection, in its perfect form, I need to recite the brachos. And if I omit the brachos, then I have not fulfilled my mitzvah of Kriyat Shema in its perfect form. Again, as I emphasize, midrabban. And if you ask me, where do I see this concept that Birchas Kriyat Shema were established by the Rabbanan as part and parcel of Kriyat Shema itself, to be attached and to be an integral part of Kriyat Shema, I see it in the Nusach HaBrachos. We have basically three brachos on Kriyat Shema. Okay, Amayrav, we have Ashkivenu, that's a separate inyan. But we have two brachos before Kriyat Shema, and we have one bracha after Kriyat Shema. We've discussed this in the past, but let's analyze it again. Ein beis medrash below chidush. Each one of the parshios of Kriyat Shema, and there are three, are focused. Each one is focused, I guess you say in singular, right? Each one is focused on one of the most important principles in the faith of Israel. So let's go one by one, and let's see if we can understand and reveal how each of the three brachos correspond to the three parshios of Kriyat Shema, and embellish those three parshios. Let's start with the parsha Rishon. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, V'yahavtus Hashem Elokecha. Basically, we have two themes over here that are critical. One is Yichud Hashem, meaning that God is existence par excellence. Everything that exists only exists because it partakes in that existence. And Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. We love Hashem. We're willing to give up our lives for Hashem. That's called Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And that's the essence of the brach. Now, you would ask me, the first bracha of Kriyat Shema, let's take Kriyat Shema Shel Shachar, so we can do the same with Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. The bracha is Yotzer Or, correct? And we speak about God as the creator of light, and the creator of darkness. Yotzer Or Borei Choshech. Or at night we say, Mavri Yom Umevi Loila. So Chazal say, and again, ostensibly this has no connection with Yichud Hashem, but Chazal say that the purpose of this bracha, and we have to always think about this because it's not intuitively given, it's not something that you would say on your own or think on your own, is this is called Lahazkir Midas Yom Balaila Umidas Laila Bayom. Now let me just, again, I'm not a philosopher, but I'll give you a little background if you don't know this. There were those who believed that it's called Gnosticism. I don't know, some people pronounce the G, some people don't. But they believed that, Chas v'Shalom, there are two gods. There's a god of darkness and there's a god of light. What they were denying is what we call the unity of God, what we call Yichud Hashem. The first bracha of Kriyat Shema was established as a proclamation of Yichud Hashem. It means that everything was created by one God, Kel Echad. Everything exists because of that one God, and that's the unity of God. And therefore, we say in the Nusach HaBracha, Lekel Baruch Ne'imos Yitenu, Ki Hu Levado Poel Gvuros, etc., etc. What is Hu Levado? There's only one God. Don't think that you wake up in the morning and you see the sun rising, that, oh, that was a new creator. This is Yichud Hashem. And what do we have in the bracha of Yotzer Or that we don't have in any other brachas? What's unique about this bracha? That the Eino Domelo, what does it contain in it? Kedusha, excellent. Kedusha, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. The Kedusha of Yotzer Or is, how shall I say, directed or corresponds to Kabbalah's O Malchus Shamayim. When we recite Kadosh, 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 Melocha Laretz Kvodo, we are accepting upon ourselves O Malchus Shamayim as, shall I say, imitators of whom? Of the Malach HaShoyis. So that's the Bracha Rishona of Kriyat Shema, which embellishes these two concepts of the first parasha, namely Yichud Hashem and Kabbal Sol Mokshman. Let's go on to the second parasha. Second parasha, V'limaditem Osam Esbenechem L'daberbam. This is the chiyuv on the father to teach his son Torah. The Rambam opens up Hilchos Talmud Torah with this pasuk, the second parasha. And the command for anyone to teach anyone Torah is a derivative of the obligation of the father to teach his son Torah. And why? Because anyone you teach Torah to is considered your ben. It's limaditam osam es b'neichem, talmidim nekuyim banim. Is memela the second bracha of Kriyat Shema? Is on Talmud Torah. In fact, the Gemara is going to tell us later on that in certain situations where you cannot recite Birchas HaTorah, you didn't do so, the second bracha of Kriyat Shema, Ava Rabo, or the different Neschos, is a substitute for Birchas HaTorah. And then we get to the third parsha. And the subject, the theme of the third parsha is Chiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the bracha Shlishis is Gal Yisrael. So I think it was logical for the Rambam to come to the conclusion that Birchos Kriyat Shema play a very unique role in the constellation of Brachos. We're not just mentioning the name Kriyat Shema, but we're going into detail about every dimension of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, every substance or theme within the context of the three Brachos of Kriyat Shema. Now, I want to tell you about the Rambam in Hilchos Sukkah. I don't know if you got a chance to look at the Rambam in Hilchos Sukkah. Part of this Rambam is not relevant to us, but part of this Rambam is very, very relevant. The Rambam is in Perek Vav, Halacha Yud Gimel, and the Ravid is not too happy about it. The Rambam says, Tum Tum Vandroganus, Li'olam ein mevarchim leishev b'sukkah. And the Ravid disagrees. So again, we're talking about someone who's a Safek Zachar, Safek Nekeva, and a Nekeva is exempt from the mitzvah of Sukkah under the law of Zman Grama. What does such a person do? What are their obligations with regard to the mitzvah of Sukkah? Says the Rambam, they have to sit in Sukkah. And the reason for that is Safek Doraisa Luchum. But as far as brachos is concerned, they will not make a bracha. And they want to hear somebody else's bracha, that's okay. But no bracha. Why? Because ein mevarchem misafek. So the Ravid says that he doesn't like this. And the reason he doesn't like it is, he says, this is not a safek. Sfeka doraisa lechumra, umiata yadinan vadai, Shatumtum vandrogenis chayovin. They should make a bracha because now, in other words, the Ravid is basically arguing the following: you cannot split between the two issues here. One issue, you can't. Wait a minute. Let me just present the Ravid. You're a Rambam fan, okay? Good, but I want to give due course. The Ravid is saying the following: there are two issues here. One is, should the androgynous be sitting in sukkah, and there's another issue: should the androgynous be making a bracha on the sukkah? Says the Ravid, you can't split between the two. It's one and the same. It's one suffix, indivisible. Once you've determined, says the Ravid, that there's a chiyuv yeshiva besukkah bidin suffix d'oraisa l'chumra, then memela, on that chiyuv yeshiva, they make a bracha. Comes along the Rambam and he says, nah, there are two different issues. They're independent, one of the other. One issue is in Hilchos mitzvah. Asiyas ha-mitzvah comes under the halach of Safek Doraisa L'chumra, and we have to require the androgyn to sit in sukkah. And then there's another question, and that's on the Drabanan level of brachos. We have a Safek Drabanan as far as the chiyuv brach is concerned. Well, we have a principle that since every bracha is Drabanan, again, we have a few exceptions, but generally the rule is every bracha is Drabanan. Drabanan said that Safek brachos lahakil. And therefore, there's no reason for applying the Ravid's yardstick and obligating the androgynous to recite the bracha. There's no requirement of a bracha here because it's a suffix. And suffix bracha is lahakil. So the Rambam is willing to apply two different rules. Two different, shall we say, klale hachros ha-suffix. There's one suffix vis-a-vis the mitzvah itself. That's Safek Doraisa L'chumra. There's another Safek vis-a-vis the bracha. It's Safek bracha Slahakel. And it comes out that he'll sit in the sukkah, but he won't make the bracha. The Rambam sees no problem. No problem. But I have a problem. I'll tell you what my problem is. Because if the Rambam applies Safek Derabanan L'kula in the context of brachos, he should be consistent about that. Should he not? We like consistency. So let's open up the Rambam in Hilchas Kriyat Shema. Where's the Rambam? I gave you the Maror Makomos Avi. Did you by any chance make a copy of it?
Yeah.
No. Oh, where's the one that I gave you?
I left it right here.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate it. So where are we up to? Oh, Perek Beis Halacha Yud Gimel. The Rambam says the following. Hilchas Kriyat Shema. He says the following. You saw this? Safek kara kriyat shma. Safek lo kara. Doesn't know if he read kriyat shma or not. Well, let's take the Rambam Hilchas Sukkah with regard to androgynous and the rules that the Rambam has established, the whole mechanics, with regard to a Safek Chiyuv Sukkah, and the Rambam splits, as we said before, between the Safek Legabi the Asiyas HaMitzvah, namely Yeshiva B'Sukkah, and the Safek Legabi Amiras HaBracha. Let's apply those two rules to this case, and Kaviyachol, let's anticipate what the Rambam is certainly going to tell us here in the case of Safek Kara Kriyat Shema, Safek Lo Kara Kriyat Shema. Yeah, exactly. You should read it without a bracha. He has to read Kriyat Shema because it's something Doraisa L'chumra. But he cannot recite the bracha because the bracha is only Derabbanan, and something Derabbanan in the case of brachas is L'hakil. Zot Rambam Chozer V'kore U'mevarech L'faneu L'achreh. So the Kesef Mishnah doesn't understand what's going on in this Rambam. The Rambam is telling us that as far as Kriyat Shema is concerned, the rule is going to be Safek Doraisa L'chumra. Okay, that's fine. But why does he make the bracha? The bracha is a Safek, and the din of Safek brachas is L'hakel. So in the context of this very long Kesef Mishnah, he quotes a Tshuvas HaRashba. Kashal di Rebbeinu Shuzal Kan Mefurash to call brachas to Rabbana. The Rambam is explicit that all brachas are derabbana. V'chol shenistapek im osa mitzvah, afal pisha ikar asiyas ha-mitzvah doraisa. Okay, fine. That's good. But as far as the bracha is concerned, lo mevarchin and klal. He quotes, in addition to the Rambam that we saw in Hilchas Sukkah, he quotes another Rambam in Hilchas Mila about a case of Misha Nolad Mol. And the question is whether he's chayav emilu or not. He has a suffix about Shmini Besuka, which is a suffix to Orais at the time that they were Makadish al Piriya. In all those cases, there's no bracha. Although, as far as the mitzvah itself is concerned, we're going to activate the principle of suffix to Orais l'chum require the mitzvah, but not the bracha. He says, Vani Omer, this is the Rashba, L'das HaRav, to interpret the opinion of the Rambam, Shehu Savur, D'meikara Kach Hoysa HaTakana. That originally, that's the way the Takana was established by the Chachamim. The Cholshu, Chayav Likros, is he's got to read Kriyat Shema with the brachos. It's almost as if the Rashba is saying you can't have Kriyat Shema without its brachos. It's like, what should I say, you can't have a horse moving without a rider. But Sarachin Gadol. I mean, on the one end, I understand where the Rashba is coming from. I can appreciate what compels the Rashba to come up with this new formulation of Mikara Kachia Takana. But and that's the only way of reconciling the Rambam himself, because the Rambam in more than one place, we have already three different places where the Rambam says that as far as the Asiyas HaMitzvah, we apply the principle of Safek Doraisa L'chumra, but the bracha is not going to be recited. Why in Safek Kriyat Shema does he recite the brachos? So I understand, you know, the severity of the problem, but what does it mean that the Rashba says that kach hoisa hatakana meikara, that the takana is that they have to read Kriyat Shema with its brachos? So I think Rabosai, this Rashba really gives us the opening that will really shed a light on everything we've been discussing in terms of the Shitas HaRambam and Birchas Kriyat Shema. The Rambam holds that as a general rule, and we discussed this before, mitzvah l'chud and bracha l'chud. There are two chiyuvim, there are two obligations, and they're independent one of the other, even though one engenders the other, and one is the excuse for the other. Without a mitzvah, I don't have a chiyuv bracha, but the chiyuv bracha is a chiyuv bracha. It's a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. It's an independent chova to recite a bracha, to thank Hashem for the opportunity to do a mitzvah. So the Rambam is willing to set up two different sfeikas. And that's the universal rule with regard to all brachos and all mitzvahs, with the exception of Kriyat Shema and Birchos Sehem. We're going to paskin with regard to the mitzvah itself in one way, because that suffix revolves around the Kiyum HaMitzvah, and then we have a suffix regarding the mitzvah of bracha, and we're going to paskin in a totally different way. Two different sfeikas. The Raivin, on the other hand, holds that there's one suffix. The bracha is engendered by the mitzvah. And if you have paskind with regard to the mitzvah, that the suffix, since the principle is suffix the raisa l'chumra, now you have a chiv to the mitzvah. So then, the same issue is the identical issue. The bracha revolves around the same identical issue. And if there's a chiyuv to do the mitzvah, then I have to recite a bracha. If there's no chiyuv, it could be, again, I don't want to confuse, but the Ravid may have gone a step further. The Ravid may be holding that Safik Doraisa L'chumra is B'toris Vadai. Meaning, the Hachra is that in a Safik you have to do the mitzvah, and that creates a chiyuv Vadai. But whatever it is, the Ravid is unwilling to split between these two Sveikas. The suffix as far as the mitzvah is concerned, the suffix as far as the bracha. The Rambam, on the other hand, is willing to sever the umbilical cord between those two sveikas. There's one suffix with regard to the mitzvah, and one suffix with regard to the bracha. Because the bracha is independent, it's a kiyum bifnei atzmo of chovas bracha. Says the Rashba, the Rambam holds that the exception to the rule is kriyat shma. In Kriyat Shema, the Rashba says in the Rambam, the establishment of the bracha and the brachos of Kriyat Shema was not a separate, independent kiyum hamitzvah unto itself, a chovas bracha. No, it's part and parcel of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Again, midrabbanan, and it's only lechatchila, meaning we won't negate and undermine your kiyum mitzvah of Kriyat Shema without Birchos Seichel. But as far as the Rabbanan is concerned, your kiyum of Kriyat Shema is incomplete. That's how the Rabbanan designed and fashioned Birchas Kriyat Shema. Without the brachos, your kiyum is incomplete. Here, the brachos do not form a separate, independent kiyum mitzvah bracha to be moda hodoya like HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the mitzvah. No, these brachos of Kriyat Shema were established as part and parcel of the Kiyum Kriyat Shema, and my Kiyum Kriyat Shema depends to some extent upon the Amiras HaBrachos. That's what I believe the Rashba has in mind when he says kach mei kara tiknua, that when they were misaking the brachos, they did so not as a separate independent chiyuv, as a mitzvah unto itself, but as part and parcel of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. And here, Rabosai, I want to suggest that the Rambam is to some extent lishitoso. With regard to brachos in general, the brachos, as we said, are an independent chiyuv and mitzvah. And I think I found perhaps an asmachta for this. And I'm going to base myself on something that I heard from the Rav, but I also saw it in the Chasdei Dovid, and I mentioned it to you once before. The Ram at the beginning of Hilchas Brachos establishes two categories of brachos. One bracha is Birchas HaNehnim, a bracha on Hana. Midirei Sofrim Levarach Al Kol Machol Tchilo V'Yachach Yehenu Minenu V'Chein HaReach In a riach riach tov yivarch v'achach yehenabo, and the Rambam says kol hanene below bracha is mahal. It's meila. It's gzela. He's stealing from the world of the Ribbono Shel Olam because he didn't recite this bracha. And then the Rambam writes, we're fast forwarding to Halacha Gimel, ukeshem shemivarchim al hana. Kach mevarchim al kol mitzvah u mitzvah v'achu kach yaseh ota. The Rambam holds that birchas hamitzvah is a mirror image of birchas hanah ukeshem, the Rambam emphasizes. Meaning conceptually, the same way that the Rabbanan established that you cannot benefit and enjoy the pleasures of this world without first acknowledging God's giving hand, and without that acknowledgement you are stealing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, Lashem Haaretz Umeloa, so too the Rambam says that with regard to a mitzvah, until you recite the bracha on the mitzvah, you're not allowed to do the mitzvah. You're enjoined from the mitzvah. It means that what's the definition of a bracha? It's a matir, correct? And the Rambam is establishing that not only is Birchas Hanah a matir, to be matir the Hanah, the Kiyum is a matir, but also Birchas HaMitzvah, the matir, the brach itself is a matir for the mitzvah. And I think the source for this Rambam is the Tosefta that we once discussed in the fourth perek of Brachos. The Tosefta, and it's also in Yerushalmi, formulate Asur lehenos min olam hazeh b'lo bracha v'kol anene b'lo mozeh b'lo bracha kilu mal v'chein ala mitzvos. And so too on the mitzvos. Meaning that the Tosefta is formulating an equation between Birchas Hanenim and Birchas HaMitzvah. That just like one is enjoined from benefiting from this world in any pleasure without first starting with the brach has to precede the Hanah, so too the mitzvah needs to be preceded by Hanah. And I mentioned to you that the Chasdei David goes as far as to say that Hanene Bolam Azeh Bolo Bracha Mal, that's only Me'ila with Kachim Kalim, but the Halacha of Mitzvos, because it's Cheftei Shamayim, upgrades that Me'ila to a more severe or more harsh Me'ila. It's called Me'ila V'Kachim Kachim. Because if the pleasure of this world, Vashem Haaretz Moloa, is Hegdesh at the level of what? Of Kachim Kalim, the mitzvos, which are the Ratzon Hashem, they have the level of Kachim Kachim. And to perform a mitzvah without a bracha is prohibited. It's Ki'ilu Ma'al. And the Me'ila is on a very high level, equivalent to Me'ila V'Kachim Kachim. This, I believe, is one possible source for the Rambam to make the equation between Birchas HaNenim and Birchas HaMitzvah. But Rabosai, I think that you can find the source for the Rambam in the Bavli. We don't have to stretch our arm out all the way to the Yerushalmi and all the way to the Tosefta. So if you take a look on your Maror Makomos page, I asked you to look at a sugya in Brachos on Daf Nun Aleph Amid Aleph. So let's open up to Brachos Nun Aleph Amid Aleph. The Gemara says the following. This is line 4. Boy mi nemi Rav Chizda. Misha achal v'shasa v'lo birech, mau sheyachzor v'yivorech. And the Gemara breaks down into two different questions. There's one question if he's continuing to eat, and there's another question even if he's not continuing to eat, should he make a bracha on that which he already ate? Again, we have a bracha achrea, which is a bracha achrona, but the Gemara wants to suggest that maybe even as far as bracha rishon is concerned, if need be, as a fallback position, I can recite that bracha after the hanah. I can thank Hashem for that hanah. So the Gemara says, how could that be? On Daf Nun Aleph Amid Aleph, you have it? Oh, line 4 on the page. Bo mi nemi Rav Chizda. You have it?
Thank you, you got you.
So the Gemara answers, Misha ochal shum v'recho nodev yachzor v'yokal shum. He says, in other words, he already violated one Isur, and he ate without a bracha. Now you're going to tell me he should violate another Isur and recite the bracha? But the Gemara rejects this and quotes a braisa. Taval v'ola. Omer Babliyoso, Baruch Hashem Kidshonu Mitzvoso V'Tzivonu Ala Tefila. A man was Tomei, the classical case is about Keri, and he goes to Mikvah, and he's Mekayim the Mitzvah of Tefilas Tomei. Hashem Kidshonu Mitzvoso V'Tzivonu Ala Tefila. When does he recite the Bracha? After the Tefila. Is Dr. Gemara says, you see, that you can recite Asher Kidshonu Mitzvoso Tzivonu even after you did the mitzvah, the mitzvah is already complete. So too in the case of Birchas Hanenim, I can be Mevarech Birchas Hanenim even after the Hanah. And the Gemara says, Velohi, that's not really a fair equation. Hasam, there, the entire Chiyuv Brach is only Chal when?
after the tefillah, because we cannot impose a chiv bracha on a tamei before he goes into the mikvah. Meikar gavra delochazi. He's not royal to be mivarech. Malkeri can't make the bracha. Is therefore the entire chiv bracha was established after the tefillah. Masha'en came in bracha. He should have recited the bracha, and he was chayiv in the bracha before he ate. The Rabbosai, from the very fact that the Gemara made this analogy from Asher Kidshonu Mitzvos and Tzivonu Al HaTvila to Birchas HaNenem Amotzi Lechem in Aretz or Bar Pri HaGofen, what do we see from this Gemara? That the Gemara equates Birchas HaNenem and Birchas HaMitzvos. That's what the Rama means here in Perek Aleph Milchus Brachos Aloch and Gimel. U'keshem shemavarch mal anah kach mavarch mal kol mitzvah u'mitzvah v'acher kach Yasa Osa. That just like we need a matir for Bircha for Hanah, and that's Birchas HaNenim, so too we need a matir for Birchas HaMitzvah, for a mitzvah, and that's Birchas HaMitzvah. And the Rambam sees this, because otherwise, how could the Gemara postulate, Ravina, that I could prove to you from this Braisa about mitzvahs HaTfil and Birchas HaMitzvah to Birchas HaNenim? The answer is that the entire issue is about a matir. And the question is, could there be a matir, chalim afreya, retroactively, if you attach it to the end of the hanah in the case of Birchas HaNenim, to the end of the Maisa Mitzvah in the case of Birchas HaMitzvah? And that's what the Gemara is vacillating back and forth. And the final conclusion is that the answer is no. There's no such thing as being matir retroactively. It's too late for a matir. You already jumped in. You had the anah. You ate the food. You already did the mitzvah. It's too late for a matir. But in the case of tefilas tomei, that's the exception to the rule, because there the entire formulation of the chiv bracha was established l'mafreya, meaning after you've already gone into the mikvah, now you're a tar, then and only then can you recite the bracha. But that's the exception to the rule. And therefore, the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Birchas HaNenim and Hilchos Birchas HaMitzvah that after you already enjoyed the benefits and after you already did the mitzvah, performed the mitzvah, you don't make a bracha. The Rambam even goes as far as to say, this is in the Maimar Muzgar in Hilchos Ishus Perek Gimel, that if a person married a woman and he said a Rambam Kudeshli, gave her the tabas, and then all of a sudden he reminded himself he didn't make a bracha, Asher Kitshonu Mitzvos and Tzvon Al Arayos V'Hitilonis Anis, etc. The Rambam says Kvar Mashos Asa V'Eino Chozer Mavarach, he can't make the bracha. And that's the proof that the Rambam holds that Birchas Erusin is a Birchas HaMitzvah, which is a gigantic machlokes in the post. Istoch Rabosai, I would suggest the following. What we said before, that according to the Rambam Shita, brachos in general, in other words, universal brachos, are independent of the mitzvah itself. And therefore, in a case where you have a suffix regarding the mitzvah and a suffix regarding the bracha, those two are separate. And I'm going to paskin l'chumra with regard to the mitzvah, but l'kula with regard to the bracha, because the bracha is an independent chiyuv. That's the Rambam l'shitoso. Because the Rambam holds that birchas ha-mitzvah is a matir. In other words, when the Chachomim formulated and established the chiyuv bracha, it's independent of the mitzvah. It's a separate entity. The purpose and the goal of that bracha is to set up a matir. Now that you've thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the hanah that you're about to embark on, for the mitzvah that you're about to engage in, now you're ready for the hanah, you're ready for the mitzvah. But those are two separate kiyumim. One is a kiyum in the mitzvah itself, and the other is a kiyum in the bracha. What's the kiyum in the essence of the bracha? It's a matir. To thank Hashem for giving you the opportunity to do this mitzvah. Correct. So you have to say the following. That the chovas bracha engenders the isur. In other words, it's a package deal. The isur is only applicable when you have a chiyuv bracha. Why should you be allowed to enjoy, so to speak, by implementing this mitzvah without making a bracha? First fulfill the chiyuv bracha as a matir. But that's only if there's a chiyuv bracha as a matir. If let's say the Torah would say, I alleviate you from your obligation to thank me, if Hashem would say, don't thanks but no thanks, then
There's no Iser. The Iser itself is part and parcel of the Chiyuv Bracha.
I'll give you an example. The halach of Sheva Brachas is that Kala below Bracha Asura Labayla Kanidim. Correct? That means that without reciting Sheva Brachas, he's not allowed to have relations with her. The Sheva Brachas itself is a matir for Hanas Chayishus, for living as a husband and wife together. But that's only when there's a Chiyuv Bracha. If there is no Chiyuv Bracha, then there would be no Isra. No, we're not going to say to a person that if, let's say he has a suffix and he doesn't know whether to make the brachas or not make the brachas, he can't live with his wife. There's no Isra because there's no Chiyuv Bracha. So again, Rabbi Osei, just to summarize what we're saying, is that as far as universal brachas are concerned, the Rambam is of the opinion that the bracha is an independent entity. It's not part and parcel of the Kiyum HaMitzvah. And therefore, if a person fulfills the mitzvah without reciting a bracha, he obtains a full-fledged Kiyum HaMitzvah. There's nothing lacking in his mitzvah. The mitzvah is bishleimus, it's complete, it's perfect. There's a separate Chiyuv Bracha, and that's B'toras Matir, that he has to fulfill. But that's an independent Chiyuv, and is not part and parcel of the mitzvah itself. Masha Ein Kain, what's the exception? Kriyat Shema. The brachos of Kriyat Shema, says the Rambam, were established as part and parcel of the Kriyat Shema. They're an integral part of the mitzvah. And if you omit the brachos, you're lacking in the complete kiyum of Kriyat Shema. It's an incomplete kiyum. And I'd like to illustrate this with the following question. I'm going to give you a scenario, and you have to make a choice between A or B. Okay, then we're going to play a little game. Supposing you have two options. The tzibur is davening shachris after the third hour. That's okay, because tefillah has to the end of the fourth hour. The Rambam even extends it. But the problem is that the fourth hour is after the third hour, and it's after Zman Kriyat Shema. You have two choices. Choice number one is you can recite Kriyat Shema Bizmana with the brachos, but you're going to have to daven b'yichidus. You'll have to forfeit the kiyum of tefillah b'tzibur. When the tzibur gets together at the fourth hour, it's too late for kriyat shema. You want to be mekayim kriyat shema bizmana, and you want to recite kriyat shema with its brachos. You're going to complete Gal Yisrael and stand up in daven shmon esrei without the tzibur. But what you gain is kriyat shema in birchosel.
Tefillah, right?
In both cases, you'll see even in the second action, you'll get smichus gilu tefillah. But the only difference is in the first option, you're smichus gilu v'yavuna, you're private shmon esrei. That's okay. But you forfeit the kiyum of tefillah b'tzibur. Your other option is to recite kriyat shema without brachos, and that'll bizmana, and that'll give you just enough time to daven with the tzibur. But your Kriyat Shema with brachos will be li'achar zman Kriyat Shema. So again, in the second option, okay, in the second option, you will daven together with the tzibur, but you will not be able to recite birchas Kriyat Shema. Okay, so in the second option, he'll recite Kriyat Shema without Birchas Kriyat Shema Bizmano in order to give himself enough time to daven together with the tzibur. So on the one hand, the first option has the advantage of Kriyat Shema Bizmano in Birchoseha. And that's going to be before the end of the third hour, but it's going to be Tefillah B'Yechidus. He forfeits Tefillah B'Tzibur. The second option has the advantage of Tefillah B'Tzibur, but the Kriyat Shema was recited bizmana without the brachos. He's going to recite the brachos after the third hour. That's the second option.
So according to what we heard in the Rambam, we should go for the first option.
Reb Chaim said we should go for the first option. Forfeit forfeit tefillah v'tzibur in order to embellish your kriyat shema with birchas kriyat shema. Because when you're reciting kriyat shema in order to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa, the Rabbanan wants you to fulfill that mitzvah together with brachos. And since the d'oraisa of kriyat shema extends until the end of the third hour and not beyond, so now you're reciting kriyat shema bizmana to fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa. Here's where the Rabbanan say, I want you to embellish that kriyat shema with birchas kriyat shema. And therefore, even if it means that by reciting Birchas Kriyat Shema, you won't be able to catch up with the Tzibur, you'll have to daven b'yichidus, nevertheless, Reb Chaim Brisker was of the opinion, kachora lemaisa, that the first option is superior, forfeit tefillah b'tzibur for the sake of embellishing your Kriyat Shema d'oraisa with brachos. Obviously, Reb Chaim was of the opinion that Kriyat Shema without brachos is a chisaron, is a deficiency, it's lacking in the Kiyum Kriyat Shema. And even though it's the Rabbanan, nevertheless, that's how the Rabbanan established Birchas Kriyat Shema. That which in the second option, you'll recite Birchas Kriyat Shema with the Kriyat Shema, but that's not the Kriyat Shema d'oraisa because it's after the third hour. And you've recited Kriyat Shema without brachas within the third hour, within this zman of Kriyat Shema, that Kriyat Shema is deficient. It's lacking the kiyum of Kriyat Shema in Birchoseh. And the reason I share this Reb Chaim with you is because I think this Reb Chaim is further proof that Birchas Kriyat Shema is not like universal brachos as a separate independent kiyum, but rather the Birchas Kriyat Shema was established by the Chachamim as part and parcel of Kriyat Shema. And by Kriyat Shema is incomplete without the brachos. This I heard from the Rav, the name of Reb Chaim.
And Tefillah v'tzibur is the Rabbanan.
Is the Rabbanan, yes. And now Rabosai, perhaps we can prove this mahalach from the Lashon HaMishnah. The Mishnah is at the beginning of the second parak of Brachos. And it's a very complicated Mishnah. The Mishnah wants to know if I can be mafsik in the middle of Birchas Kriyat Shema, in the middle of Kriyat Shema. It's on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, correct?
Yeah.
The Gemara, the Mishnah says, "Biprakim shol mipnei akavid meshiv umeshiv b'emtza shol mipnei ayira umeshiv d'Rav Meir." Okay, we're not going to this Mishnah itself would take us a week at least just to understand the Mishnah. But what I do want to show you is one thing about the Mishnah, that when the Mishnah sets up these categories of Beina Prakim or Be'emtza Perek, you know, there are more leniencies, Beina Prakim, less leniencies to respond than to interrupt in the middle of a Perek. The Mishnah seems to formulate the following. And the Eluheni, the Mishnah wants to know what is considered Beina Prakim. And I would have anticipated that Beina Prak would be between the first paragraph Yahavta and the second paragraph Vayim Shemoa and the third paragraph Vayomer. And yet take a look at the Lashon HaMishnah, the second of the wide lines, if you have a classic Mishnah. It says the following. Eluhein, what are these Beina Prakim? It says, Bein Bracha Rishon Olashnia, Bein Shnia Olashma, etc., etc., Bein Vayomer Liemes V'yatziv. It sounds to me that the Mishnah is integrating Birchas Kriyat Shema into Kriyat Shema itself, as if to say that, you know, one word, I'm asking for a knee-jerk response, this is not the answer that I want, but I'm asking now for the wrong answer. I'm asking for the wrong answer. Please give me the wrong answer. How would you describe in a verb, in a one single word, the act of reciting Kriyat Shema? What word do we classically use for a brach? If any brach, if I wanted to say I'm reciting a brach, Mevarech. That would be the verb. And therefore, if I apply that to Kriyat Shema, Birchas Kriyat Shema, I'd say Mevarech Birchas Kriyat Shema. I think the Mishnah would use a different term to describe Birchas Kriyat Shema. What's the verb? What's the active recitation of Birchas Kriyat Shema? Not Mevarech, but Kori, exactly. Kriya. Why is it called Kriya? Because just like Kriyat Shema itself, the three parshas of Kriyat Shema, the word, the accurate word to describe reciting the three parshas of Kriyat Shema is kore, I would take that verb kore and apply it to birchas kriyat shma. It's not to be mevarech birchas kriyat shma. It's to be kore birchas kriyat. And if we integrate both birchas kriyat shma and kriyat shma to one long great entity, it would be to be kore kriyat shma in birchosel. But the word kriya would relate to brachos no less than it relates to the parshios themselves. And therefore, with regard to this kriya, we're going to set up bein haprakim. And every bracha is called a perek of kriyat shma.
If this be the case, perhaps Rabosai, we could put this all together and come back to the Ramach and his kasha on the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Kriyat Shema. What was the first Rambam that we started with? Halacha Zayin? Halacha Yud Gimel. No, I'm sorry.
Halacha Zayin,
correct? And the Ramach. Okay. The Ramach says the following. I don't understand. How can the Rambam say that HaMishana, let's just read the Rambam again. Ko HaMishana mimadvei ashetovu chachomim bibrochos, hareze toe, vechozer umuvarch kimadvei. Fek the Ramach, what do you mean? It's clear that the universal principle in brochos is that Ko HaMishana mimadvei ashetovu chachomim bibrochos is hareze toe, but not chozer umuvarch. And we claim, and the Gaon claims, that the Rambam himself in Hilchos Brachos codifies the halacha that kol mishana is hareze toah, but ein ochos mivarech. Again, those words ein ochos mivarech don't appear in the Rambam, but the Rambam omitted them deliberately because the halacha is universally that if you make a change in the nusach habracha, then b'di'evad yoyotze. So why does the Rambam here in Hilchos Kriyat Shema say that in Shina, hareze toeh v'chozer mevarech kimatbea? And we established that this is a separate halacha in Birchas Kriyat Shema. Why? Because Birchas Kriyat Shema is part of Kriyat Shema. It's one entity. The word here is not mevarech, which would, by sheer association, would be identified with universal brachas. It's not a mevarech. It's a kore. The parshios and the brachos are part of one indivisible entity. The Rabbanan established these brachas as part of the kiyum of kriyat shema. Any suffix that you have as to whether or not you were yotzei kriyat shema, you weren't yotzei kriyat shema, you have to be mevarech. And we suspend the principle of suffix brachas lahakil because otherwise the kiyum of kriyat shema is incomplete. And Reb Chaim is willing to go as far as to say, I will forfeit the kiyum of tefillah b'tzibur for the sake of kriyat shema in birchos seha, because kriyat shema without birchos seha is not kriyat shema. It's a secondary hinkadinka kriyat shema. It limps. It's not the mitzvah b'shleimus. And not only that, the halachos of bein haprakim that govern the three parshas of Kriyat Shema apply equally to the three brachas of Kriyat Shema. They too are considered bein haprakim because they are integrated into one entity called Kriya. The Kriya of the brachas together with Kriyat Shema is one entity. And if that be the case, then just like there's a halacha of Kriya in the parshas, that it has to be kiksava. So the Rabbanan established that the parallel to kiksava is kimatbea habrachos. Meaning, with regard to the three parshas, is halach of kiksava, but now we're integrating the brachos into the very fabric of the kriyas haparshios to create one indivisible entity. And now those brachos, which require kriya, what's the parallel to kiksava? Is kimatbea shetavuchach. Isn't that beautiful? That the matbea shetavu kachamim becomes the kiksava with regard to the brachos. And therefore, if a person is mishane, he changes the nusach and the matbea shetavu kachamim birchas kriyat shema, insofar as birchas kriyat shema is an integral part of kriyat shema itself, and the same rules that govern kriyat shema will govern birchas kriyat shema, the brachos have to be recited, or read, I should say, kiksava. What's the kiksava in brachos?
I mean, I can't look in the Torah and find the Nusach HaBrachos. The answer is I can find the Nusach HaBrachos, but not in the Torah, but in the Beis Din Shel Ezra. And the Beis Din Shel Ezra established these brachos in a way that's kiksavach. And with, I just want to conclude the shiur with the rush in the name of Rav Haigon at the beginning of the second perek. The rush says something unbelievable. What happens if I read Kriyat Shema without its brachos? So you and I know that if you read Kriyat Shema without its brachos, yotza. And this the rush quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel. The Gemara, the Mishnah says, "Hayakorei b'Torah v'igia zman hakriya." He was reading the parshas in the Torah, and lo and behold, coincidentally, he read the parshas of Kriyat Shema. And the Mishnah establishes that imkiven liba yotza. Fek the rush afal pishalo kar bibirchol se'ah. He's reading parshas in the Torah. He happens to chance upon the three parshas of Kriyat Shema, and he recites them with kavana. But he leaves out the brachas. He didn't recite the brachas of Kriyat Shema. First rush and the second parak. Yotza v'chein pirush Rabbeinu Chananel. And then fast forward for Rav Haigon Zal Kosav. The Sidron Eino Ma'akev. That the Seder HaBrachos is not Likuva. It's not indispensable. Aval Tzorech Likros Eshtehen. He can switch around the order of the first two Brachos, but he has to recite those two Brachos. And the rush attacks Rav Haigon. How could you possibly say that the brachos are ma'akvos? We have a universal principle that ain't a brachos ma'akvos is a mitzvah. Rav Bose, what's the answer? Rav Haigon went a step further than we went in the shir. What we went is we said that the brachos of Kriyat Shema were established by the Chacham as part and parcel of Kriyat Shema. That's only l'chatchila in order to achieve the shleimus of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. But we weren't willing to go one step further and say li'kuva, that without the brachos you forfeit the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Comes along Rav Haigon and he says the Rabbanon did that, and they have the power and the authority to do that. They can take a mitzvah d'oraisa, and this we saw in the Machlokas in Rabbeinu Yonah at the beginning. If he read Kriyat Shema according to the Chachamim after Chatzos Laila, Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, whether he's Yotze, the Rabbanon will mafkia the mitzvah d'oraisa. Rav Haigon is willing to say that when the Rabbanon established Birchas Kriyat Shema as part and parcel of Kriyat Shema, they went one step further and they said if you omit Birchas Kriyat Shema, it's as if you haven't read Kriyat Shema at all. It's all one entity of Kriya. The Kriya integrates A plus B, the Kriyas HaBrachos, together with the Kriyas HaParshios, and one without the other just simply won't do. It won't cut the mustard. Okay, Rav Moshe, we'll stop here.
Why can't you say that the Rashba says,
we didn't get to the Tosis and Sota. Okay. But that was the first part of the shiur, which I decided we can't do both. You know.
The Rashba says that when the Sake, Rabban when the Sake and Brachas, in Kriyat Shema to go with Kriyat Shema.
Right.
The reason he says that is because without that you could say, like the Ravid, you could say that it's a Sofei. It was a suffix. If he didn't remember if you said Kriyat Shema or not, and he has to say with the brachas, and you have to say without what the Rashba says, you would say, oh, we go like the Ravid, and the Ravid says once you pesha whether this is whether this you have a chiyuv to do it, and the bracha goes with it the same way.
Pesha meaning machria.
So it would be like demai, since we say rove our mafresh. So since they wrote mafresh, then it automatically becomes a mufresh. Once it's mufresh, it has to have a bracha because you've decided already, and it's a d'oraisa, and therefore you have to make a bracha with it. The same with Kriyat Shema. Since rov pamim, if a person is shogeg b'fiv to say Kriyat Shema, so therefore if he was suffic whether he said Kriyat Shema or not, we say he said Kriyat Shema because most people would say Kriyat Shema.
Once so why does he have to repeat Kriyat Shema?
Then they would have to say. No,
the Rambam says that if he doesn't know if he said Kriyat Shema, he has to say Kriyat Shema.
Yeah, in Okinami. So he has to say Kriyat Shema again. Why does he have to say Kriyat Shema again? Because if you went with that it was like Demai, then he would have to, he would have to say the brachas because because there were masakin in that.
Excuse
way.
Me, Alan. Just one second, Dave. Do you have to go?
Also, a question.
Go ahead. I'll come right back to Alan.
We're saying this is Kriyat Shema, but he says here brachot Elohim sha'a kol ha-brachot ha-ruchot b'fi kol Yisrael. Seems that he's applying to all brachot.
I hear what you're saying, David. In other words, what I'm suggesting here, in order to reconcile this Rambam with Hilchos Brachos and answer the Gaon's question, is that there's a Reisha in the Rambam and there's a Sefer in the Rambam. The Rambam first gives us a general, universal introduction to brachos, and that applies to all brachos. And in that sense, Ezra Beis Dino, when misaking brachos, whether it be Birchas HaMitzvos, whether it be Birchas Kriyat Shema, the whole kit and caboodle. Right. Then the Rambam, at some point, and I'm not sure exactly where, okay, and that we have to work on, the Rambam makes a transition to Hilchos Birchas Kriyat. And at that point, he says, is Choser Umavar. Okay, now probably the logical, the logical possibility is that. The transition is here is with the words V'ein Adam Rashai Lifchos Mehem. No, I'm sorry. Is over here. Makom Sheskinu Lachtom Bebarach Ein Rashai Shalol Lachtom. In other words, this goes back to the beginning of Halacha Zayin, where he talks about Hilchas Kriyat Shema, and he goes through Birchas Kriyat Shema, and he wants to know which Birchas Kriyat Shema require a psicha, which require chsima, and which do not.
It does involve sort of, breaking this apart.
You're right. You're right. MS, I can't rewrite the script. So, Alan, again. So,
if they compared it to him.
Oh, great. Thank you so much, Mitch, for reminding, for remembering. Okay.
If you compared it to Tamai, whether you said Kriyashma or not, for like Tamai. Right, so you wouldn't have to say Kriyashma again.
Right.
Right?
If you want to say Rove like a Shogar Bafir.
But he didn't say Kriyashma. But now that he's not saying Kriyashma, what is he going to do with the brachas? What's going to happen with the brachas?
Wait a minute, you're assuming that he's not going to recite Kriyat Shema?
Because if you're going to say, like it's the Mai, that you passed in that he did, it's as if he said Kriyat Shema already.
Then that's not our psak, but you're giving a theoretical possibility. Our psak is that he has to recite Kriyat Shema. I don't think anyone argues with that.
Now I'll tell you why he has to say Kriyat Shema.
Oh, okay.
He has to say Kriyat Shema again. Because the Rashba is saying that if it were not for the fact that the brachas are an integral part of Kriyashma, you'd have a problem. Because according to the Raivit, what the Raivit would say is that since it's a Diraisa, and since the Diraisa we paskin that the Demai is as if it was Mufresh. And he has to make a bracha on it because on a deraisa, if you're going to deraisa, you pass him that it's deraisa.
But just one second, Alan, if I could just interject. Yes. The Rashba says the following. He's trying to understand the Rambam. The Rambam says that Choser Umavarech, Choser V'korei Umavarech, even though in general the Rambam would leave out the bracha in a suffix, here the Rambam insists that the bracha has a unique status, and the chiyuv bracha as part and parcel, as an integral part of Kriyat Shema, requires that you recite the bracha. Because in order to obtain your kiyum of Kriyat Shema, which in this case of Sofek, the Torah requires you to do Sofek Dereis L'chumra, you're going to have to recite the bracha. So that's the Rashba. I only wanted to use the Rashba for one fascinating point. And that is that Birchas Kriyat Shema have a unique status in the constellation of brachas, whereas universal brachas, right? Which is, you know, and I was using this Rashba as a further proof because you remember the Ramach was yelling and screaming about why the Rambam says that in Hilchas Kriyat Shema, in Birchas Kriyat Shema, there's a unique halacha of Choser of Kol Mishana Choser Umevarech, and I'm saying to the Ramach,
Yeah, you're right from the perspective of universal brachas. There's no din of chozer mevarech. He's a toeh, but he doesn't have to be chozer mevarech. But don't apply those universal standards to Kriyat Shema. To Birchas Kriyat Shema, because Birchas Kriyat Shema, as opposed to all other brachas, works with its own sets and its own unique regulations. The Rashba is a proof to that. The Rashba indicates that even though universally we would leave out the bracha in a case of Suffolk, in a Suffolk Kriyat Shema, we insist that we have to make the bracha, because the rules and regulations that govern Birchas Kriyat Shema are unique.
And therefore he has to say Kriyat Shema again. Not only brachas, but he has to say Kriyat Shema.
Okay, that's not how I understood the Rashba. I understood the Rashba saying that, why does he have to make the brachas? Because he has to recite Kriyat Shema. You're turning it upside down.
Yeah.
You're saying that he has to recite Kriyat Shema because of the brachas. I did not see that in the Rashba.
The reason I wanted to say that is exactly because what the Rashba said. Because
you can say it on your own, Alan, don't try to stuff it into the Rashba.
No, the Rashba is saying that because otherwise you would go with the Ravid, like the Ravid said, and the Ravid said that once you determine on its own merit whether a Suffolk is whether it's a Diraisa or not,
then the Meili should recite the Bracha.
You have to say the Bracha.
Correct.
So
if you apply the standards of the Ravid in Hilchas Sukkah over here to Hilchas Kriyat Shema, then if you have to recite Kriyat Shema because Suffolk Diraisa Lachum, you don't know if you recited Kriyat Shema, then for sure you'd have to make the Bracha.
But the problem is that
the Rambam in Hilchas Sukkah disagrees with the Ravid,
and
the Rambam holds, let's drop the Bracha and let's just do the Mitzvah, because Suffolk Diraisa Lachum governs the Mitzvah but not the Bracha.
Yeah, but I'm saying what would be.